Okay. Oh, go ahead.
So it's on. I think it's in Brooklyn. And he, you know, the toilets are—they're flat, and then you've got the. So it's not an actual toilet. It's more of an indent.
Oh, just like a basin squatting, in the ground, squatting basin, toilet. Yeah, we had those in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. So he was busting for a mud monkey, and he
for a what?
A mud monkey.
What's that?
That's a
oh, a mud monkey. Okay, all right, all right. I'm learning some dinkum slang.
And he said everyone was standing there at this train station just pissing out in public, and there was a designated section of cubicles.
Yeah,
they were all full. It was that busting. And he said he had to pull up,
squatted in the trough,
and squat in a trough, right next to two Bosnian guys with kids.
Who were
just
probably
staring
just
staring him in the face, head to head.
Oh, man.
Big Jeffersons. Mate, he said he wished he got on record. I don't know, I've not got that many shit stories as that yet.
Oh, well, what are you, like halfway on your trip now?
3 months in, yeah.
Just knock on, well, there's no wood to knock on, so.
Oh, man, I'm sure.
You can't go on a big trip like that without.
Oh, man. Honestly.
So just by way of introduction for the five people listening, we're sitting in, what is this called, Betaway? Betaway Hostel in Athens, Greece. I'm sitting here with my new friend Sam from Brisbane.
Australia, yep.
Yep. And so relay your whole itinerary. Where have you been so far?
So we traveled for about 5 months. Started off in the UK. We did Wales, Scotland, Italy, France, Slovenia, and Croatia, and now we're here in Greece.
Wow.
So we got...
And then you've got a bunch more to go.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got Budapest today, and then Netherlands, Austria, Germany, and Poland to go. So.
And you're doing Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest, yes. Yeah. I'm prepping for that.
Yeah. Not get your liver ready. Just
man,
like
you have to, honestly.
Oh, wait, is it on this side? I forget what side.
I've heard that they're not fans of the Aussies in Oktoberfest.
You guys are too rowdy.
Everyone says that.
You know what I found? Like, there's Aussies everywhere you travel, but, like, once you get, like, five or more, they start just getting really crazy.
Seriously, man. I think it's just a...
But that's like everybody. That's like Americans, Irish, Brits. I guess the Canadians are more polite.
I found... You Americans to be the worst, right?
Yeah,
The Texans.
We are. The Texans, man. Yeah. Tell me about the Texans.
Oh, we're at this hostel in Pavar, and there was this Texan girl.
Mm-hmm.
She had a boyfriend. I don't know how crass you can get on this.
Oh, go for it.
Mate, it was horrible. And I met two blokes from New Zealand, and so this Texan girl was going apeshit. She was so rowdy. It was just this party hostel. And to be kicked out of a party hostel, that's something, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the boss comes over, the manager. He's told her to shut up once, twice, and then she's raging on about how she's got this boyfriend, and he'll come over from the US, come over from Texas.
Oh, my God.
2 seconds later, she pulls up a photo of her in a bush, the night prior, with scratch marks down her back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, getting fucked in a bush, which is just class.
But her boyfriend's back home.
But her boyfriend's back, and he's going to fly
over. He's going to fly over after she's already
exactly
been with some other guy. Nice.
So this New Zealand bloke, he took it upon himself to silence her. That sounds so bad, man. But she was all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went back to the room. So I don't know how bad this is. Yeah,
let's hear it.
They were on the...
My friends will love it.
Anyway, so the manager was outside having a cigarette, and he's on the balcony with her, fisting her on the balcony, butt-ass naked.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible, man.
And everyone's watching?
Everyone's on the balcony, checking this out, and she's screaming on this balcony. And we're all sitting there in awe, just in awe.
What?
I had a video... I can't show you.
I don't know.
I wish we could broadcast this. But
yeah.
Man, so they both got booted from the hostel that night. It was horrible, man.
Getting booted from a party hostel, that's a high bar.
Exactly. Honestly, like, so that was the Oktoberfest training. Night one. But honest to God, man. Texans,
yeah. Texans are pretty loud, and they think they're the center of the world, and they think everything is the best in Texas everything. So, us Texas Oregonians, we're a little bit more chill.
Yeah, yeah. So, we want to rent a van and do the U.S.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
Yeah, exactly. We'd have to do a big trip, eh?
I would do... I mean, a great trip for you guys would be to do the whole West Coast, starting in, like, Vancouver, BC, and then go south through Seattle, Oregon. Like, if you guys like outdoor stuff, like camping and hiking and
for sure.
And mountains and stuff, like, that's awesome.
I think we're going to have to do that for sure, man. That and, like, I don't know, you want to do the main city, New York City and that, you want to do, you have to do it in Cali and that, but I'd rather, if you rent a bike and do Route 66, is that...
Yeah.
Is that common?
Yeah.
I just got my bike license, so
okay.
that'd be awesome.
Well, I would practice a little bit before you...
Yeah, is it a bit rough, or...?
Just for safety, you know. I was gonna bike through Vietnam, and I took a biking class, but I failed the test, so I just rented scooters when I was there.
Yeah.
But
see, we've been doing dirt biking for a bit. In Australia, it's just too easy.
Yeah, well, if you ever make it to Oregon, my brother-in-law, he lives in Hood River, which is kind of it's a nice little town east of Portland.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. It's in the Columbia River Gorge, and there's a lot of good windsurfing and stuff. But they've got amazing, like, bike trails all around there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And here we have Claudia.
Hello.
Welcome.
So,
the green tea.
Nice. So Claudia is Sam's better half. This is the Homies Around the World podcast. There's probably only like five people listening, so you don't have to worry about it.
Hello.
That's
really
cool. That's we a good just, name, man. How'd you come up with Homies Around the World?
Have you heard?
That's a good title.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, so, you know, I just meet interesting people. I mean, a lot of them are just my own thoughts and stuff when I'm traveling, because I'm traveling solo, so...
Yeah.
I got, you know, there's nobody to talk to a lot of times, so
exactly. So
I can just, like, tell a little story or something and entertain my friends back home. And
how do you find it? Do you find it difficult times? Or?
It's up and down. It's, you know, it's, there's pros and cons. I mean, it's nice to be able to just do what I want, and I don't have to check in with anybody or negotiate, there are definite times where you, like, want to share the experience with somebody, and there isn't always, you know, I'm kind of introverted, so it takes a little bit of effort for me to, like, go out and make friends, and I'm not always feeling it, so that's why I like to stay at hostels, because there's more opportunities to meet cool people. But
I think the main pro for us is splitting costs.
Yeah.
Like, we're bums when it comes to traveling, like, it's just so cheap traveling as a couple, but we've met a lot of
that's really sweet.
Yeah.
Your favorite
that
thing.
Is the sole purpose of me traveling.
It's cutting costs.
So how did you save for a 5-month trip?
Oh, it was a bit grueling, wasn't it?
It was definitely grueling.
Were you just working for a while and saving up money?
Yeah, but we had jobs in Brisbane and our lease ended. And we didn't want to be paying rent whilst we were traveling,
right.
So we were kind of commuting like 2 hours for work.
Oh god!
And putting it lightly, we were essentially homeless for like 5 months. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we were couch surfing a bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad for me because I could work from home.
No.
Sam was.
I was at the time I was working in the bottle shop, and it was in a really rough part. I wouldn't say Brisbane's rough. However,
yeah.
It was
does,
like the.
Does Brisbane have some? Like rough areas?
No, it's more like the clubbing district. So
okay.
just
loud
the drunk
and
people.
Drunk
yeah,
people.
The bottle shop was open till 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in Brisbane, that's where it's the only store where you could buy liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to get kicked out of a club, you'd come to this store.
Yeah.
And then I saw some shit in that 5 months. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And people just making messes and talking shit and breaking bottles and stuff.
Yeah, and you have to refuse service in Australia if someone's drunk or disorderly.
The week before we're leaving, I was running the store and I saw a guy get stabbed because he cut someone off.
Oh,
it was
shit.
Horrible. And
oh, wow.
But shit story there. Got a few of those. Had a few customers shit themselves.
And you got... Let's hear it.
Let's get off
so this. I was telling Sam, one of my friend's favorite things is hearing poop stories, you know, because when you're traveling and you can't find a bathroom or...
It's all about Sebastian's Bosnian mud monkey drop. That's a good story, though. No, we had this regular customer, and he
didn't really know it was a person at the time.
We didn't know it was a person at the time. So we're allowed dogs in this bottle shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, There's the fridge area where you can get your cold cartons. You walk out and there's the floor stack cartons. And I've walked in and I've just smelled smelled turd. I'm like, what's going on? Like, some dog has shit themselves and someone's not cleaned it up. So I found the load and I've gone, all right, gone to check if there's
a dog. It doesn't look dog-like.
It did. It was odd.
Oh yeah?
It was
dog-like. It wasn't healthy.
Gave it a good inspection, but no, it definitely wasn't healthy. And then I've noticed a tissue paper next to it. I've gone, there is no way someone's wiped their dog's
Somebody
ass.
Trained their dog to like wipe.
Dead set. And then, so I've gone, what the fuck? I've walked out around the stack to go get the cleaning items, and I've noticed a separate level. And I've gone, okay, this is not a dog.
The phantom shitter.
Yeah, the phantom shitter. Anyway, I've gone into the camera office, and I've noticed a man walk in. He's begun the process. He's taken the first turd, sort of shook his leg off, and it's dropped down his pants. So it's free
little rolling. Dingleberry down the pants?
Man, little dingleberry. It was cheeky. Anyway, first sort of drops, and then it was almost like it was planned. Flawless execution for me. He's pulled out the tissue paper, wiped himself off, flicked it behind him, looked around for cameras, spotted one.
And he's doing this in the store, like
inside
in different aisles. Like,
inside the store.
Like he's just trolling you guys at
100%,
this point.
100%.
Because he could go out on the street in some alleyway,
yeah,
probably
just,
somewhere.
Yeah, or use the toilet. Like. But then he walks around this stack. Again, decides to the second coming. Drops loose, does his business, whatever. Wipes off again, free hand this time. A bit more adventurous.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is no joke. Picks up two bottles of rum. Proceeds to check out. The poor girl at the checkout's touched his feces. I cannot make this up.
Bro.
Get this. Goes to the security guard on the way out. A dog's shit in your store. Go clean it up. We've got him on tape this entire time. I was dumbfounded.
Oh my god. I would beat his ass.
Anyway,
or something.
Dead set.
Poor girl at the checkout.
Lauren, bless her. Anyway, comes back in the following day and he goes, I'm sorry for what I did. Like, admits blame. We knew who he was. The boss was about to kick him out. Then he goes, I've got an illness and it causes me to defecate spontaneously. And we were just like, what the fuck?
Well, that's why he was prepared with toilet paper, though.
He said, oh, I'm about to, like, it's life-threatening, you know. I haven't got long left. It's like a few weeks. I'm like, what?
I've never heard of an illness that's life-threatening where you've got to, like, shit inside people's stores and then buy bottles of rum afterwards.
The phantom shit. That's why he was making him shit.
No, but he's still been coming into the store to this
day. One and a half years later, he was still going strong.
Yeah.
And, like, we couldn't say anything because I didn't want to insult him.
Believe it or not, this is not the first time Sam has found human feces.
We don't want to make this podcast about shit.
Well, it's a big part of it.
Yeah. Homies.
Yes,
homies on the go shit.
That's what happened in
Brisbane. Yeah. Then there was Kmart. Long story short, I was working overnight, and it was just employees on the shift. We were in an employee back room. Got to about 10 o'clock at night. Store's been closed for 3 hours. We've been using this area for the entire time. And I walked out into the back room, and there's just shit smeared all over the walls.
Oh my god. You've got to be a psychopath to do stuff like that.
You look like a crime scene.
Like
price
Dexter.
So low,
you got to call Dexter to like do a splatter interpretation.
Because what's you know how your phone, like you can switch it on to black and white? Sam accidentally switched on to black and white and he's taking photographic evidence.
It looked like blood.
It looked like a crime scene.
Oh,
it was a crime scene.
It was smeared.
A bra to clean it up. And then I've walked out to the manager, told her she was in disbelief. And I've looked out to the employee room, and surely enough, there was Julie.
Name and shame.
Different pants on. I've gone, fuck you, Julie. The day
Wait,
after.
Her name was Julie, or is that just like.
No,
a,
that was. Oh, should we cover that up?
Oh, no, it's fine. Nobody's going to know. Julie, you're out there somewhere. We're going to catch you.
The phantom shit out.
Is it still recording? Low battery. Oh, it's still going. The battery might die, so.
I'll finish this up. And then, long story short, so it wasn't the following day, it was the day after, there was a meeting, sort of an award ceremony, a bit weird, Anyway, I was publicly called out for not putting cat litter on her feces, and she received an award for cleaning up her business.
She got an award for shamed, just doing... Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, I was not allowed to say anything about who it was.
Who's first thought is to put, like...
But now I've exposed her.
Julie, if you're out there, you need to turn yourself in. You need to change your ways.
It's distasteful, Julie. I haven't forgotten.
So I already asked you this offline, but how do you guys keep from killing each other over 5 months, living in hostels and dealing with fairy rides from hell and all that stuff? Like, how do you guys keep your spirits up?
We need our alone time. If we've noticed we've been squabbling, we have a few hours apart, and that usually does the trick.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep yourself sane, really.
So my friends, Allison and her sister, when they traveled Europe, they had this little catchphrase called this little hand sign, and I'm holding my two fingers against my thumb with the two little horns up, and they call this quiet coyote. So if they were getting grumpy at each other, they would just go, okay, quiet coyote, and it would just, like,
send them. We might have to implement that.
Yeah.
I think that's the sound.
We did that last night on the ferry.
We definitely did.
I was trying to sleep, and someone talked to me.
Yeah, so these two were on the island of which island?
Milos.
Just a
beautiful island.
And there was some really bad weather, and their ferries kept getting delayed and canceled, and so they basically spent the night out on the docks, basically.
Yeah, we did.
And then didn't get back in until 5 in the morning.
For 10 hours, we sort of slept on the docks, and then was meant to leave at 12, get here at 2 or 3 p.m. for noon, and then we got here at 5 a.m. So we've had, 4 hours sleep, essentially.
We slept from 5 a.m. till 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, I slept at 9, so.
Wow.
But that's travel.
You guys look pretty chipper for not having slept really well.
It.
We have done overnight buses before.
Yeah,
okay.
And they are definitely more
comfortable. Well, and you're young, too, so you got your recovery. Your recovery time is much better than
us
old folks.
I've taken up coffee. I didn't used to drink coffee until traveling.
Oh, yeah.
So coffee helps. So.
What's your worst travel story?
A poop story?
Sorry, you
named
it that.
Okay. Well, some of my friends have heard this one before. I already told one on a previous podcast, but this is when I was living in Japan. And my friend John and I, we were both living there. And we would go every Saturday night. He would come in from Kanagawa Prefecture into Tokyo.
Yeah.
And every Saturday night, we'd go out to clubs. And the trains shut down at midnight, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be out, you're out all night until the trains start back up again at 6 a.m. So we would stumble out of the clubs, bleary-eyed, smelling like booze and smoke, and maybe get like a hamburger from McDonald's or something, and then get on the train, and we'd go back to my apartment and just crash for a few hours or whatever. And so it was still a few stops away from my stop in, I think it was Nakano. And I just suddenly just had this like rumble in my stomach, and I was like, oh God. And my friend John knew immediately what was going on. I'm like, we got to get off at the next stop, and it's serious. So we got off at the next stop, and I was just like, and I'm not very fast, but I was just sprinting,
rapid on the tires.
Sprinting like just my arms pumping, and I was just running down the stairs towards the bathroom in the station. And I turned the corner, and I see in the bathroom, in front of the bathroom, there's a barricade, and it says Sojichu, which means like it's being cleaned right now. I just don't even stop. I just run and just like Jackie Joyner Kersee hurtle over the barrier. And then around the corner comes this little Japanese old lady who's like got a hose in her hand, and she's like hosing out the bathroom, and she just comes around the corner, and I don't even see her, and I just shoulder butted her out of the way like a football, like a kickoff return team, and I just boom, and I go into the toilet. And this is, I think the public restrooms have gotten better now, but back then they had a lot of the train station ones had the squat toilets. Apparently it's supposed to be it's supposed to be healthier way to
position.
Go to the bathroom.
I don't like it.
It's I used to not have enough like strength to just stand there, so I'd have to like crab walk.
Nice.
Or like hold myself against the wall. So I'm sitting there just, it's like, just all of the demons from the night before are just shooting out of me. And the woman is outside the cubicle just yelling at me in Japanese. And I'm just so like, whatever, that I'm just like screaming at her, swearing at her in English, and we're just yelling at each other through the door. And then finally I'm done, and and by the way, you have to always remember to, well, this might have changed too, but you back then you always had to remember to carry some pocket tissue with you, because a lot of bathrooms didn't have toilet paper. But there would always be these sales girls like handing out little packs of pocket tissue, and so luckily I had some that was what's that?
Deliver Eats for the pocket tissue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned the hard way that you got to carry pocket tissue with you.
Oh,
so I come out, and the woman is just giving me the evil eye, and I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you. This was emergency, and I walk out, and my friend who's standing outside the bathroom, he could hear everything, and he is just doubled over laughing his ass off.
Yeah,
you know, like, it was like the funniest thing for him.
Oh, mate, that is horrid.
And I would say that's quite successful because you made it to the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, that's nice. It's better than the people that Sam, unfortunately, has to...
Oh, mate, honestly. It's a different low, isn't it? Minimum wage, clean, not turds.
Oh,
that's a health and safety violation as well. You can't be doing that.
At least your minimum wage is higher than ours.
Exactly.
I think if it was in America, the person would have just quit his job, just like, I'm out.
It'd have to be a pretty big tip to clean up your shit. Honest to God.
So do you guys, one last question, do you guys have an idea what you're going to do when you get back, or you're not even thinking about it?
No, I think I'm not entirely sure. I might go straight into work and then save and then do another trip, maybe US, do the van, Canada. Yeah, no solid plans yet.
No, I'm just going to figure it out when I get back. It's future me's problem.
Just going to free roll it at times, I think.
Yeah.
I'm really jealous of the Australian kind of easygoing, like, you know, I think it's important, especially when you're young, to take time to go do these kinds of adventures, you know.
I definitely wasn't in this mindset before I left for travel. I was like, oh, I'm worried about taking time out for my career and stuff like that. But I think now that I'm traveling, I'm like, realize it's not a rush.
Yeah.
I'm not on the Amazing Race for life.
It feels like the Amazing Race, though, doesn't it?
Seriously, oh my God, I've said that too many times this trip. It definitely feels like the Amazing Race.
Have you guys traveled together before on trips?
I only like little holidays, really. This is very different.
We've been together for 5 years, so...
We're good students.
So one thing I like to talk about a lot is like travel style, and... that was still going, okay. So...
Have you got any markings?
It's just for fun right now. We'll see. Maybe by the end of the trip, you know, if I have like 40 or 50 episodes, then...
Kebab capers. Hey, I reckon you should... This is a grand idea.
You haven't even listened to it yet.
No, I know, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you guys should... These things are like... I think it was like $200.
Yeah.
You know, and it has multiple mics, so you can...
Because I started watching like... What's Nicoletti's podcast? Friends.
Sam is terrible at this. He always says watching podcasts. I'm like, listen. Listen to them.
It's like this podcast, just friends with friends, and it's just a group of mates chatting shit about stories.
Oh, cool.
And that's like the kind of podcast I'm into at the minute. And this is...
Do you guys use Facebook or Instagram? Maybe you should. We can swap some podcasts later.
I watch like the most bizarre range of podcasts. Like, listen, oh my gosh, you have the effect on me. I just said watch podcasts.
Is this Insta?
Yeah, it's Instagram.
Okay. So tell me your paragliding horror story.
So, Claudia got it.
Oh, so real quick, sorry we got cut off because my battery ran out, so you guys missed some stuff.
Shame on you.
But we're hearing a little... Sam's going to tell his birthday paragliding story.
Birthday jump. So Claudia got me a paragliding... it was a surprise gift, so about 2 days of preparation, she booked a paragliding course in Lake Annecy, France, which is a stunning place, bordering Switzerland, so it's just incredible. We got there, everything was fine. In Australia, the process would be a massive safety briefing, prior to taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sure that, you know, we'd get that at the top, just so, you know, we could be more relaxed. I mean, it was daunting getting up that high.
No falls were signed.
Do you know how high you were? Were you like in a
so
big cliff?
So we reached 2 kilometers at the top. Uh-huh. That was up. So the cliff was probably 1,000 meters high. So
yeah.
Which I don't know what that is in miles.
And then they use the wind to like make you go higher. And
yeah.
We went about 2 kilometers high.
So no form sign, no none of that. Climbed on this. It was a 20-minute car ride up the top of this cliff. And at this point, Claudia had about 4 months of preparation, mental preparation for this jump.
Because I just thought gliding sounds so pleasant. Like, I wouldn't sky dive, if that sounds intense, or I wouldn't bungee jump. Like, jumping and diving sound intense, but gliding sounds peaceful.
Yeah, I've done parasailing, and it's very peaceful, so it sounds like it would be like
you've
that.
You've done parasailing?
I've been parasailing, yeah, that was...
Oh, off the back of the boat.
Yeah.
Peaceful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought of gliding. And I didn't realize how high it was. So I'm getting this bus up and it's getting higher and higher. And I'm just like, no, we're not doing this. I like couldn't feel my legs. I was in full freak out mode. And I was thinking, you know, will I get refunded if I pull out?
Seriously, if I...
Then what did they charge you to do it? So
it was expensive. Like, 110 euro each?
I spent like 300 euros all up, I think, around that.
You can tell me that. I owe you big time.
No, maybe it was 200
birthday.
Euros.
Yeah.
No, I think this...
You had to clean up a lot of, she had to clean up a lot of bathroom poop for your birthday.
A lot of shit tips.
No, I think it could have been like $350 and maybe 220 euros. It wasn't that bad.
God,
that's less than American dollars. That's Australian dollars.
Say,
no, but I knew we're budget travellers, so I knew Sam wouldn't have allowed it if it wasn't for his birthday. So that's why it was a birthday present.
Anyway, it was a gift. But then we got to the top of this cliff. The view was stunning, but I don't think you can ever... Because we're both unpetrified heights. That's just one of
so
my things.
I can't even climb a ladder.
So when I saw that was my birthday present, I was a bit... You know... I was grateful. I was also shitting myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get to the top. Claudia's freaking out. You're almost pulling out. Brink of tears. Walk up this hill. Facing off this cliff, I could not believe it. Looking down, I was like, shit.
Oh.
It was a bit more intense. And, I mean, some people could take it easier than I could, but got to the top. I'm like, oh, where's the safety briefing? They strapped me in. And I'm going, fuck.
They don't tell you anything.
His name was like Roberto, spoke broken English. I was like, mate, where's the safety briefing? He's like, yeah, safe, you are safe, yes. Clips me in or some shit. And I was like, man, what's happening? Because I'm looking back at you, these guys are not clipped in yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, safety.
Are you guys doing it at the same time?
Yeah, so I took off first out of four people.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys had failed launches or whatever.
Mm.
My arm was like tangled in this thing. My leg was like the wrong way about. Next minute I know, no safety briefing. Starts lifting off to jump off this cliff. Parachute's up in the air. He's like, pull back. And I'm like, what?
Pull back on what?
What the fuck are you talking about? He's like, step back, resist. And I'm like, resist on what are you talking about? Looking back at this fucking Goliath of a net is just behind me. And then I feel myself getting dragged back. And I'm like, off the chair, didn't tell me where to sit or anything. I had so many questions.
So you're just hanging?
I'm just sort of hanging off. The front.
Okay.
Next minute I know I'm up in the air like a big tangle trying to fix myself. He's like trying to grab me back in. It wasn't as intense as it sounds, but someone who's shit scared of heights, you can imagine.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was expecting a safety briefing as well, and then all I hear is like a woohoo, and so it's like off in the air. And I'm like,
what? He's like, sit back. Honestly, then it got to the point of acrobatics, and his mate's up in the air. We're 2 kilometers high at this point, and he just pulls this Red Bull type shit. And I just was not about it. He's like, we do that. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. 2 seconds later, he's just flipping upside down.
Oh, my God.
Jeez up. It's like literally like a roller coaster feeling in the air.
Yeah.
And prior to doing this, me, I'm looking up like parachuting fail, like paragliding fail, acrobatic. And there was one at Lake Annecy, France. The
guy got unstrapped and he was just literally hanging on the bar.
No, that wasn't. But I watched that. That is
scary.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
I think that was Interlaken.
Yes.
Mm. That's where we wanted to do it. Switzerland's so expensive.
Yeah, we don't talk about Switzerland, do we? Well,
sure.
It's a bit too much.
But no, we'd watched that, so I was kept being like, "Am I strapped in? I'm definitely strapped in." He's like, "Yes, you're safe."
So your hands are supposed to be on a bar, and then are your legs like strapped in somewhere, or no?
It's kind of like a weird, like, nappy.
Like a chair, kind of?
Chair.
Yeah, it's a chair. Yeah. So it's like a weird nappy. Anyway, starts doing this acrobatics, and I'm like, because the parachute in cave.
Yeah.
If we can catch one, and that's what happened to this guy in Lake Annecy, France.
And then you start spinning.
And I'm shooting myself. He's laughing. Doesn't tell us how to touch down or anything. So I'm like dragging my feet on the ground, kissing this ground. Like, it was a great experience. Yeah. Right there.
I got a little more briefing than that because, like, before we landed, he said, "Okay, for landing, if I say stand up, you stand up. And if I say sit down, you sit down." And that was it.
But I just think
that's
like,
all the safety briefing
we
got.
Wow.
I just think for some people, they gave full briefing up. In Australia, it'd be a very different.
Oh, it'd be like 2 hours.
It'd be like a 2 hour.
Have you guys done like bungee jumping or skydiving or anything like that?
Ever like
that. Wild, so like.
So I was when I was in New Zealand, I was in Queenstown and I was all set to do the big swing. I forget it starts with the N. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't.
Where you just
it,
like drop and then you just do this giant swing.
That's
yeah. So I'm in my camper van, psyching myself up to do it the next morning. And then, of course, the worst thing, I start watching videos of people doing it and stuff. And it wasn't the swing part, but it was, I saw this video of a guy who, like, shit his pants while he was doing it. So there's people on the ground going, "Did that guy just shit his pants?" And then I was like, "Oh, no, that's going to be me if I do it. I'm going to be the one guy that shits my pants." And that's what got me. See, if I was with a friend who could, like, psych me up, maybe I would have gone and done it. But.
See, at least you didn't have that night before Japan. We call that an AGB in Australia. Do you have AGB?
No, what's AGB?
After Grog Bowl.
After Grog Bowl.
So what you experienced in Japan was a Class A AGB.
AGB.
After Grog
After Grog Bowl.
Yeah.
And you just sting.
I love this term. So
most people feel better after they've had their AGB.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Australia, if someone's hungry, you might just be like, "Have you had your AGB?"
It's a big night, it can be a
time. Yeah, my friend, when I was living in Japan, my Australian coworker friend Lucinda gave me this book. It was the Dinkum Dictionary, and it had all the Aussie slang or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys have all these, like, what was, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember very much. I remember she called American seps, because it was, like, there's this whole rhyming thing, because it was, like, septic tank rhymes with gank, so that's, like, American, so it was, like,
really?
Seps.
Never heard that one.
Maybe that's, like, an old slang, or maybe nobody says it, or anything.
Seps, maybe that is an old slang, I don't know.
Depend where you are, because I know, like, Melbourne don't use a lot of slang.
No,
but
they're not true Australians.
Oh, they're not? Why not? What's...
No, that's just Sam's personal thing with them.
No, I just think, two city. If you're up in the city, I don't think you'd experience it.
Yeah,
it's
very different from coast to city.
We
like, you wouldn't see snakes and kangaroos if you were in
the city.
I wake
up to kangaroos in my backyard.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. But no, the slang in Australia is fast. Coming overseas, man, people just aren't...
So when you guys travel and you run into other Aussies, do you, like, tend to stay away from them?
Yeah.
Or do you... Do you kind of gravitate towards them?
It's dependent. Like, you do stay away, like, especially in club scenes. There's a thing called Contiki in Australia, which is like a...
Have you heard of it?
Contiki?
Yeah.
Isn't that the...
Bus About?
It's like Bus About.
Oh, no.
It's
About
and Contiki.
Wasn't there a famous voyage called Contiki?
That could have been what they named it after.
Okay, anyway, yeah.
It's a tour group.
It's a massive tour group, so it's like a New Zealand-based company, and they just, it's so expensive. So they do, like, European trips all around the world, and it's just so fast-paced.
There's
travel.
Different types. But then some of the fast-paced ones, that's like 8 countries in 9 days.
Which is insane.
That is crazy.
You're paying,
that's
like
what the Chinese do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like crazy.
So you're paying like 4,000 euros minus flights for like a fucking...
A
week or two, like, you know what I mean?
That's
insane. It's also got a big rep for drinking.
For
like,
drinking
every night, a lot.
So a lot of the hostels we were staying at, budget hostels, are what the Contiki groups book for the clients or whatever. And they're just groups, mass Australians, looking for a party.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there in the common area like this, they'll pull up, everyone starts getting pissed.
It also gives Australians a bad rep.
And that's the thing, that's what gives them a bad rep, so you tend to shy away from that. But solo... Aussies are flying back there.
Because there's so many Contikis going on all around Europe, you can imagine why Australians get the rep of being, like, drunk and rowdy. Because there's all these, like, young 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds getting drunk.
I do find it weird that there's, what, 20, 27 million Aussies?
They're everywhere.
Do you find that?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in Nepal, there was a big group of Aussies we were hanging out with, and... almost everywhere I've gone, there's at least a few Aussies.
Yeah. We're a pretty small population compared to, like, America. America's got, like, 300 million people more than us.
But we don't travel. See, that's the thing. Like, I keep hearing this stat, but I don't know if it's entirely true, but it's, like, less than 10% of Americans even have passports.
Wow.
So, and if they do travel, they'll just go to, like, Cancun, Mexico, or somewhere just really close or easy. They don't, they tend not to travel to, like, far away places and stuff. So,
do you guys tend to travel, like, interstate, or do you?
Like, a lot of people will, you know, fly to Las Vegas or go to California, or go to New York, or go to Florida, or, you know, go to theme parks or go on cruises and stuff. Which, I mean, I love New York. I would like, when my brother lived in New York, I would travel there once a year, because it's, I like going places where there's, like, real culture and not just, like, a big tourist loop that you run through.
I
find, like, history, culture's the biggest shock, because Australia's so new. Like,
Well, there was only the indigenous population until 1770, so there was no, like, here it's really fascinating in Europe to see how much other countries have interacted for centuries. Well, not with centuries, maybe.
Centuries, definitely.
For thousands and thousands of years, whereas Australia... was just kind of isolated and did its own thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
so when you live, like, growing up there, do you feel sort of cut off from the rest of the world in a way, or do you not feel that?
I didn't feel that.
I'm originally from England, so I moved to Australia when I was 8, so I felt a bit different, but I definitely felt a lot more isolated than when I lived in England. But then I felt like the lifestyle in England wasn't really for me.
Yeah.
And you live, I live a much richer lifestyle in Australia.
Yeah.
That you don't need to go on a holiday necessarily, because, like, we've got the weather, we're on the beach already.
Yeah, you guys have a beautiful country. I mean, you have a lot of stuff there, so it's, you're not, it's not like you're missing out totally.
I mean, everyone just wants to escape. It's a lot different, because no one really gets to see the state of Australia. Like, a lot of people are so restricted to their own state. There's not much travel. If there's travel, there's international. Whereas in the US, it's different. Travel to different states.
Yeah, I think, like, Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne, people hop around them a lot.
Yeah, but no one's really daring enough to do, like,
the inland stuff.
Tucked in. But I would love to do it. Love to get a four-wheel drive and just tour all of Australia. But that would be, like, a 2-month job. Like,
that being said, though, I do know a few Australians that have, like, never left the state.
Yeah.
Because it's a massive expense when you do want to come overseas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's a lot of backpackers that just come for months and months on end, because it's such a long way, it's such an expense.
Yeah.
You need to really take time out of work.
100%. Yeah.
Well, you guys have, like, the way your visa system works, you can work abroad if you want to pretty easily in a lot of places, right? Like, if you wanted to work in the EU, you could do that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the EU. I think that's the United Kingdom's very easy to work in. New Zealand's not easy, this one, and Canada is very easy for us to work in, because I think Canada and Australia have, like, unlimited visas to give out to each other.
US summer camp, so I feel like a summer camp.
Yeah.
It looks rad.
Yeah.
I really want
to
do that.
I really want to go to Tasmania next.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah, it just sounds interesting.
Never been to Tassie.
That's a bit
have
off
you been?
I've
we
never
money.
Been. I've
yeah.
never been to go, but that's surprising. I've never had anyone say they want to go to Tasmania.
So some friends of mine, we do this backpacking trip every year, and usually it's just around Oregon or that area. But we've got this one pretty wealthy friend that we're trying to, like take us to Tasmania, take us somewhere really cool, you know, like, fly us out there.
Tasmania looks beautiful, and they've got wombats and Tasmanian devils that just wander around.
I've got a rep for,
I'd like to go to some places that you just feel completely in another world, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's parts of Africa I'm really interested in, you know?
Yeah. What's the place that you've been to?
Well, I've been to South Africa and Lesotho. Lesotho. So part of this trip, I'm doing a there's an organization called Habitat for Humanity, where it's active in about 60 countries, and you go and you build a house for a family. So I've done.
That's lovely.
So we're doing a habitat build in Jordan as part of this. I'm going to meet my team in Jordan. We're going to build a house there. But we did one a couple of years ago in Lesotho, which is, you know, like South Africa has Lesotho and Swaziland, or two landlocked countries inside of South Africa. And that was amazing. I mean, it's a super poor country, but it's really beautiful, and the people are just incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
There's actually a lot of South Africans in Australia. I think after England, that's probably, like, the most common that people that emigrate.
Definitely,
around where we live. Yeah. So I'd love to do South Africa.
Not a lot of US immigrants, is there? Not a lot.
No, I've never even thought of that. English, South African, I'd say, are the biggest two.
Yeah, well, it's expensive for us to fly over there, too. So
It's insane. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Just getting home is a mission. I'll have to cut on the credit card, but...
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, that's why we're going to Vietnam, because it's the same price.
Yeah.
To fly to Vietnam. Yeah. And then.
So is that the only Asian country you're going to visit on this trip?
I'd love to do more, but it's just tough. Budget.
I've got a nephew now. It's his first Christmas. I'd love to be back to see him on his first Christmas.
How much... Do you guys give yourself a set amount of time in each country, or is it just... You just play it by ear?
Play it by ear. Like, sort of freestyle, but now it'll be more...
I just kind of Google how many nights to spend here, and then just read a few articles and get an idea.
But Athens, a lot of people said don't even bother.
Yeah, I know it's weird. I mean, there's a couple ruins and stuff to see, but everyone says just go to the islands.
Yeah, go to the islands, Greece. That's life.
If you do get time, I mean, if you find yourself with a little extra time from Vietnam, I highly recommend Cambodia, and you can do that in a few days.
Yeah, I would love to do some more countries there.
Because the temples in Angkor Wat and all that, like in Siem Reap, it's
stunning.
It's stunning. It's really cool.
Thailand was lovely at the time, but yeah, I just think Vietnam would just be incredible. Ha Long Bay looks. Did you go to Ha Long Bay?
Yeah. That was really cool. I basically, when I was in Hanoi, I had enough time to either do Sapa. There's Sapa, there's Nim Binh, I think, and then there's Ha Long Bay. And I just had time to choose one, so I did Ha Long Bay. And it was really cool. Yeah. But it's a little touristy, but it's definitely fun, and you're going to have a good time. Like, you drive out there, you get on a boat, and you're with, like, a group on a boat. And there's some cool activities to do. Do a little kayaking, go see a pearl farm, some cool caves to check out.
So you do that 2-day tour sort of thing?
Was it 2 nights? I think it was 2 nights.
Yeah. On a boat?
On a boat, yeah.
We'll do that for sure. Cheap as well, hey?
All the activities. I mean, it's compared to Europe, everything's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But just walking around like Hanoi is so cool. Oh, you got to do, one thing I recommend is that I did on my last night in Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah.
It's called the Back of the Bike Tour. And if you love street food, which I do, they come and pick you up on a scooter. So you'll each have like your own driver. You ride on the back of the scooter bike. The scooter bikes are insane there. Like,
I watched the Top Gear.
Yeah. So you sit on the back of the scooter and you'll meet up with like a group. So there might be like 15 other people each with their own scooter. And then in Ho Chi Minh City, it's broken up into all these districts. Yeah. And usually most people when they visit, they stay, I can't remember the number, but there's this one main district that most people kind of stay in.
Yeah.
But on this tour, they take you to these other districts, and you go and like get a beer and some street food at each little place, and they take you to like 6 or 7 places, and it was really great. It was so fun.
I'm so keen for the street food there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Vietnamese, everyone says it's like a cultural hub.
Do you have, you must have some Vietnamese restaurants in
Brisbane. Yeah, we do.
Thai food. There's a massive influence of Thai food. People,
but you've had like pho and banh mi and bun cha, and you got
to
try.
Over. Yeah, I was
Got to try bunryu, which is another noodle soup dish, but it's got like kind of tomatoes and like usually there's like maybe like crab meatballs in there, and it's it's like my new favorite more than pho now.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good.
I've been on the Euros here.
So you want one
last one, are you going to have one or are you taking
one? Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
Just going to get rid of them. Last one, then we're out.
So, what would be your advice for people that are inspired to travel but haven't traveled very much, especially Americans? You know, like, what would you tell them? Like,
I think,
what have you learned on your trip?
Oh, it's just, it's invaluable, hey? Like, we went, like, I'd never really traveled at all. And this was like, it was daunting at first to just set off and do it, but it's just incredible. I think you learn so much, even by yourself. Like, it sounds cliche, but you do. Yeah.
There's also like never going to be the perfect time where you need to go traveling.
Right.
I think, like, you know, it wasn't ideal how quickly we had to save because we had to be in England by a certain day for family stuff. So it wasn't ideal, but you've just got to do it.
Where in the UK is your family?
In the north.
In the north?
Yes, very northern.
Yeah, like Yorkshire or?
Right next to Yorkshire, Lancashire.
Lancashire? Okay.
Yeah. And then we've got a family all scattered around the UK.
Was it nice or was it cold and rainy? Or?
We actually got really good weather. We got really lucky. Really lucky.
I've heard a lot of shit about the UK, but I've never seen
Sam's
it rain
yet. Sam had beautiful weather there.
Stunning.
So did you guys explore the Highlands in Scotland?
We wanted to so bad. We only did Edinburgh, so we need to go back to Scotland.
Edinburgh is beautiful.
The Highlands yourself?
Yeah, so part of my last trip, I was in Edinburgh for a few days and then rented a car and just did a whole like tour around the Highlands and blown away. It was so great.
Stunning. We really want to do that.
Yeah.
Where it is a bit too cold.
Yeah.
If we go back and do it.
I was there in February and it was great. I mean, yeah, it was cold, but it was, like, beautiful. Yeah.
My geography's horrible, though. I'm coming from Australia. Never really studied geography. Does it snow in Portland?
Not every year, but it rains a lot. Portland's kind of famous for being really rainy, but, but yeah. And then we've got Mount Hood nearby, some other mountains, so you can ski and snowboard and stuff.
I'd love to do the U.S., honestly.
Yeah.
Love to.
Yeah.
We've definitely got it.
Well, if you're ever in the Northwest, for sure, like,
oh, man,
hit me
Instagram,
up.
Instagram, we'll have to.
I'll take you out, you know,
show
you around. We got great. Portland's it's a very progressive city, so in some ways it's kind of like a European city, but it's kind of weird and funky, and there's a lot of, if you like craft beer, it's like famous for craft beer and wine. And weed's legal now, so
really?
What's that?
Just smoke yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually get these companies. I really know exactly like how soon I'm gonna be and
see in Australia it's like supposedly it's almost decriminalized, you only get rehab a lot of people.
So they don't really like
they do if it's like medical use might be it's on the brink of being it is legalized for certain cases, but I think following US, Canada regulation, fingers crossed.
So it's crazy. So as soon as it became legal, all these dispensaries just popped up everywhere. So you just walk in, show them your ID, and then it's just like a candy store. It's like you can get flower, you can get extract, you can get waxes, oils, gummies, edibles. And it's, but you know, it's ever, a lot of people were like freaked out, like, is this going to make everybody like stoned all the time? And it really hasn't been that way.
Yeah. I feel like, I just feel like weed to me is just not.
It's not your thing.
But I prefer it to drinking alcohol, to be honest with you. Like, it's just.
It's probably one of those things that's like a bigger problem if you make it illegal than it is if you make it legal.
That's incredible. So, what's the process for getting an ID like?
You could just show your passport or something. You wouldn't need a special ID. It's not like...
Can you just go and buy it?
Yeah. It's recreational. So it's state by state. So So now, I don't know all the states, but I know Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, and a few other states are now totally legal.
Yeah.
And and then there's other states that are just medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And then there's like conservative states where it's totally still illegal.
And is it possible to bring like interstate?
Can no.
You not allowed to?
No. So that's the thing. Like you can't carry it across state lines. So which is funny because I used to have an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And I had these two girls stayed there one time, and they like I go and after they left, and I was going to clean up, and there's like an ounce of like this much. They're like, sorry, we bought too much. I hope you can use it. I'm just like,
an ounce.
Yeah, it's so cheap. It's so cheap now because there's so much production.
Yeah, a gram.
So,
a
gram. Like you can get like $5 grams. And ounces, like you can get like $75 ounces, which back in the day would be like $400.
Yeah. What are you at?
Back when it was like. You know,
it's never been like that in Oz, I don't think. But I mean, we haven't even been next to us.
That's the problem. There's so much oversupply now, and they can't sell it across state lines.
Yeah.
So now there's all these people jumped into the market, and started growing, and getting licenses to grow and stuff. Now there's so much oversupply that they can't, like the price has gone way down.
Yeah, exactly. Did you happen to invest?
No, but I've got a friend that opened up a dispensary and he's killing it right now. And yeah.
So I want to get into like, I'd love to try to invest if it's ever legal in Australia.
It will be.
Australia's
just a little behind with that kind of
stuff.
We
are a little slow with that.
Yeah.
That's life. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great to meet you guys. And
appreciate it.
I'm really inspired by your trip and...
making me blush. It'll be important for Take Two's first draft. Yeah.
Take Two, yeah.
May as well.
All right, well, Sweaty Yeti out. Another great episode of Homies Around the World with Sam and Claudia from Australia and Points Beyond. So.
See you, homies.
Thank you.